And the hymn following our lesson this morning is number 396. 396. Welcome again, press and appreciation for your being here. Always good to get together. There is an outline on the back of the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along with the lesson. Titled it, A Wonderful Savior. Also called the Seven Wonders of Jesus. By way of introduction, it's kind of a lengthy introduction, but I want to tell you when the Apostle Paul wrote to Christians, several times he makes reference to Jesus being like a man, physically born, like you and like me. In Galatians 4, verse 4, it said, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of woman. And then Paul said also in writing to the brethren Philippi in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, that Jesus, or in reference to Jesus, he took the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of man, being found in fashion as a man, and he humbled himself. Jesus, from these verses, that Jesus did come in the flesh. He had physical qualities, and I'm going to list some of those for you. But he had features that other people had. People like you and like me, born physically. When you think about some qualities of Jesus, and these are not the things that make him wonderful, because in Matthew 4, verse 2, he became hungry. But we get hungry. In John chapter 4, verse 6, he becomes physically weary. Also in verse 7, he was thirsty. When he was on the cross, he cried out, I thirst. And there were times when he showed literal agony. And I think we would too under similar circumstances. When Jesus anticipated the cross, in Matthew 26, verse 38, he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even to death. In Luke 22, verse 44, it describes it this way. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Sweat were as great drops of blood falling to the ground. So Jesus went through a physical emotion just the same as you and I would if we were anticipating a cross on which to be crucified. He had the ability to weep, and these are things that are characteristic of just you and me. These are not the things that make him so wonderful. The Bible records that he cried three times in his ministry. Once he cried at the death of his friend Lazarus. In John chapter 11, verse 35, Jesus wept. A second time that Jesus cried was just before his crucifixion. He weeps over the city of Jerusalem. And in Luke 19, verse 4, he saw the city and wept over it. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. I would have received you as a mother hen receives her chicks, but you would not. And he cries because they didn't receive him. The third time is recorded in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. It says, who, meaning Jesus, in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him who was able to save him from death. And those were the tears in the Garden of Gethsemane. So Jesus cried, just like you and I would. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says Jesus advanced in wisdom and stature, just as a normal young person would. So he was in the flesh, just like other children. In Luke 1, verse 80, it says the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. Yeah. I don't know if when Jesus, as a boy, if he was ever put in time out or sent to his room or had to go to the principal's office. But he was a boy just like you and me. Several other items about Jesus are interesting, but they're not the wonders of Jesus. For example, the date and the place of his birth. It's not a wonder. You know, we don't know the date, the exact date of his birth. December 25th is man's estimation. That's the tradition. And usually the birthday of great people are celebrated, you know, Washington or Lincoln. And their birth dates in that situation become national holidays. But no doubt when you think about the birth of Jesus, there were other people born on that date. There were other people born in the city of Bethlehem. So there's nothing majestic or a wonder about the date or the place of his birth. But however, as you know, Jesus did give directions for the celebration of his death. But nothing is said about celebrating his birth in the Bible. But he did say about his death, he wanted that to be remembered, and it's done each week when we as Christians assemble for worship and we observe the communion or the Lord's Supper. And Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." There's nothing outstanding or significant necessarily about the date or the place of his birth, all but his death. I want that to be the event for which you remember me by. And every first day of the week. The social standing of his parents are not a wonder. They were a poor family. In Luke 2, verse 24, it said they made the offering of the poor, two turtle doves. That was according to the old law. Jesus' earthly father was a carpenter. In Matthew 13, verse 35, isn't this the carpenter's son? So there's a lot of things about Jesus in his physical life and ministry that are not wonders. They're events and situations that all of us experience. One recorded childhood experience is not a wonder. His parents left him in Jerusalem. They thought he was with them on their journey, but he stayed behind and confounded the teachers in the temple, and that's in Luke chapter 2, verse 43. The length of his life is not a wonder. Methuselah in the Bible is noted for his age. You know, he lived the longest, Methuselah. Methuselah's grandfather is the second oldest in the Bible. It's in Genesis chapter 5, verse 27. All the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Verse 20. Methuselah's grandfather is the second oldest in the Bible. His name is Jared. It's in Genesis 5, verse 20. All the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. The third oldest person in the Bible, I'll give you a moment to guess, but it's Noah. It's in Genesis 9, verse 29. All the days of Noah were 950 years. And he died. So there's nothing noteworthy about the length of Jesus' life. He lived approximately 33 years. His earthly physical appearance doesn't make him noteworthy or outstanding. In Isaiah 53, verse 2, it says, "When we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him." So he wasn't a contest winner or a Mr. Universe. Nothing noteworthy. He never traveled far from his homeland. He wasn't a famous explorer. He's never known as a winning athlete. He wasn't a president of a college or university. He wasn't an inventor. No mention of his name, of him taking blue ribbons or gold medals or bronze plaques. So what is it about Jesus that makes him so wonderful? I've just spent almost 10 minutes telling you about things that don't make him wonderful. That he was just like you and me. So what is it about Jesus that's distinguished? What is it about Jesus that makes him marvelous? What is it about Jesus that sets him apart and worthy of our praise and devotion? And these seven things are in your notes. So here they are. Number one, the manner of his birth. No one else had ever been born like that. No one else will ever be born like that. That method of birth puts Jesus in a class all by himself. He was a heavenly child with an earthly mother. He was an earthly child with a heavenly father. That's something that's a wonder. One of the wonders of Jesus, the seven wonders of Jesus, the manner of his birth, not in our text. Second, his life. Jesus is the only person who's ever lived a sinless life. I can't do that. I've already messed up. It was one time, back in 2004. No, I can't live a perfect life. I don't say everything correctly. I don't do everything right. But Jesus in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. No sin. His enemies diligently tried to find fault in his life. They wanted to find some wrongdoing in his life, and finding none, they had to hire false witnesses against him. When he's on trial before the crucifixion, on trial before Pilate, the presiding officer, and Pilate admits in Luke 23, verse 4, I find no fault in the man. His life sets him apart. His life is a wonder. Because he committed no sins. In 1 Peter 2, verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. You see, Jesus, as the Son of God, is the most consistent man who's ever lived. Wow, that's a wonder. He's the most interesting man in the world. The manner of his life. Number three is his vicarious death. You know, all of us are going to die. However, no one's death will ever accomplish what the death of Jesus did. You know, I have a organ donor sticker on my driver's license. My death may benefit one, two, you know, in war, soldiers give their lives for a few or a company of fellow soldiers. Firefighters can put their life in jeopardy to save a family. We remember New York in 9/11. The firefighters ran toward the danger, giving their lives to save others. But Jesus' death benefits a world of people. Here we are 2,000 years later and we still benefit from his death. Nobody ever died a death like that. Nobody ever will. It's a vicarious death, meaning he served instead of someone else. A vicarious death, meaning his deed was performed and offered as a substitute for another. My death is not going to pardon your sins, but Jesus' death does. There's a wonder. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, for while ye were yet weak, in due season Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. And peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Number four, what sets Jesus apart, makes him a wonder, and distinguishes him is his resurrection. Jesus is the only one in the Bible, he's not the only one in the Bible to have died and be resurrected, but he's the only one who was resurrected for the benefit of others. And his death and resurrection offers salvation. And he's not going to die again. He still lives. Now you might think about some people in the Bible that were resurrected from death. In 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah raises the son of the widow of Zarephath, but they die again. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus raises Jairus' daughter, but she dies again. In John chapter 11, Jesus raises his friend Lazarus from the grave, but he'll die again. So in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, Jesus said, and I put this in your notes, he was delivered or died for our sins. Yeah, that vicarious death that sets him apart from everybody else's death. But then he was raised for our justification, for our salvation, for our deliverance from the wrath of God, to give us a way of salvation, a path in which to live. Jesus was wonderful in his resurrection. So Paul preaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if Jesus has not been raised, your faith is in vain. Oh, but he was resurrected. That gives us faith, gives us hope. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, you're yet in your sins. Oh, you see, Jesus' resurrection accomplished a purpose. There's some significance in that. It's a wonderful resurrection because of the benefits that it provides for you and for me. Number five is his ascension. His ascension. In our lifetime, we've witnessed people lifted up in the air, launched into space, but they come back. Jesus, in his resurrection, didn't use a launching pad. He didn't have a booster rocket. He didn't have a space suit or any other kind of man-made technology. His ascension sets him apart from others. He doesn't, and he hasn't come back yet. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9, and when he, meaning Jesus, had spoken these things, they beheld, and he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. No one else has ever been ascended like that, in a cloud. Witnesses? So there's something wonderful about Jesus. And at this point, it's his ascension, his lifting up, going back to the Father. Number six is that he's coming back again. In that same chapter, in Acts chapter 1, verse 10, while they were looking steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, the same Jesus, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Oh, he's coming back. Something wonderful about Jesus, something majestic, something worthy of note. It's something about Jesus that distinguishes him from everybody else. Remember, I spent those 10 minutes saying all the ways he's like us. But in your notes, I've given you the seven wonders of Jesus. What is it that makes him wonderful? Oh, he's coming back. He's coming again. The last one I've listed for you is that his invitation. His invitation. It's different from anybody else's or anyone's invitation. I can invite you to an event, you know, a celebration, a gathering. But what Jesus invites us to, he said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he's the only one qualified to make this offer. He said, "Come unto me, all ye," that's everybody. Doesn't leave anybody out. A world of people. "Come unto me in every generation. Come unto me, all. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." I can't make that promise, but Jesus can. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Learn of me. I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, that he, meaning Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. That sets him apart. That's distinguishable, significant. It's a wonder. He's the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. None but Jesus has died and been resurrected and ascended that make this offer. Nobody else. The last words of Jesus, and we mentioned this pretty much at the close of every lesson, his final words in Matthew chapter 28, the beginning of verse 18, "All authority is going to be in heaven and on earth. Go ye and make disciples of all the nations." How are you going to make disciples? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Spirit, heavenly authority. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you all, even to the end of the age. That sets Jesus apart from everybody else. That makes him wonderful. Mark records it in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Jesus tells his disciples, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned." What makes Jesus so wonderful is his invitation for salvation, an invitation for forgiveness of sins, the hope of eternal life. That's the promise of God. And that makes Jesus a wonderful Savior. So these are the seven things that I mentioned for you about what sets Jesus apart from everybody else. His manner of birth, his wonderful life, his vicarious death, his purpose-filled resurrection, his ascension, he's coming back, and his gracious, gracious invitation. God's grace. You're subject to it. If you haven't obeyed the gospel message, you have that opportunity. We're going to sing a song, and I say words, a song of encouragement, it's an invitation, it's a song of exhortation, to encourage you, if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, to become a Christian by being baptized for remission of sins. Let's stand together, and we'll sing this song. If that's your desire, simply let that be known at the close of this lesson. Number 396.